I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's March 22nd, and we have a lot to talk about. Just over 2 years ago, the National MS Society brought some of the best and brightest minds in the MS research community to Washington, D.C. for what I described at the time as an extraordinary meeting, the Pathways to Cures think tank. The meeting was a significant step in defining and refining the research pathways to stopping MS progression, restoring lost function, and ending MS forever. And if you'd like to hear from several of the scientists who participated in that meeting, you can check out episode 125 of Real Talk MS by visiting realtalkms.com/125, and you'll find that link in today's show notes. The work that was discussed at the Pathways to Cures think tank continued, even as the events of the day were overtaken by a global pandemic. That work has led us to today, with the publication of an important paper, The Pathways to Cures Research Roadmap, in this month's edition of the Multiple Sclerosis Journal. The Pathways to Cures initiative has already been endorsed by over 20 international MS research and patient organizations, and it seems like we've reached a defining moment in the long history of solving multiple sclerosis. I'm devoting this entire episode of Real Talk MS to the Pathways to Cures Research Roadmap. If you'd like to learn more about this game-changing initiative, please visit pathwaystocures.org, and you'll find that link in today's show notes. And if you've downloaded the free Real Talk MS app to your iOS or Android tablet or phone, you'll find an easy-to-follow infographic illustrating the Pathways to Cures research roadmap under the Bonus Content tab. I'm being joined today by two very special guests, Dr. Carol Whitaker and Professor Alan Thompson. Dr. Whitaker is the former Senior Vice President of Research at The Ohio State University, and today she's a member of the National MS Society's Board of Directors, and Dr. Whitaker chairs the National MS Society's Scientific Advisory Committee. Professor Alan Thompson is a clinician scientist who's dedicated his career to improving the lives of people living with MS. He's been the recipient of virtually every high honor and award that's given in the field of multiple sclerosis research, including the John Distel Prize for MS Research in 2017, the Sobeck Research Prize in 2020, and the 2021 Charcot Award, which recognizes a lifetime of achievement in outstanding research into understanding and treating MS. Dr. Whitaker and I discussed the significance of this moment in MS research, the work that went into creating the Pathways to Cures research roadmap, and what this means for people affected by MS. In a moment, we'll meet my first guest, Dr. Carol Whitaker. Dr. Carol Whitaker is the former Senior Vice President of Research at The Ohio State University. She's currently a member of the National MS Society's Board of Directors, and Dr. Whitaker chairs the MS Society's Scientific Advisory Committee. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Whitaker.
Thank you so much, John. Glad to be here.
I've talked about pathways to cures in previous episodes of the podcast, but for the sake of our newer listeners, can you give us an overview of what Pathways to Cures is?
Great question. Great lead-off question. I think, you know, when one looks at MS, it really is a growing health challenge. And we just had a prevalence estimate of MS in the United States. We're at 1 million in the United States, which is twice as many as we thought. And extrapolating that, it's probably 3 million in the world. So even though we've had lots and lots of research advances and incredible amounts of treatments, there are gaps in our knowledge. We don't have a cure. A cure has really remained elusive. And so we needed a plan. The Pathways to Cures is a roadmap. It's a detailed roadmap that describes our knowledge gaps. It describes the milestones we need to reach and the research priorities to get there. So with a plan, we'll be able to reach that cure faster.
Putting this roadmap together and even just planting a flag saying these are the pathways to cures for MS sort of sounds as though we're at a pivotal point in the history of MS, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, when you think about it, MS has been described for almost 150 years. And that very first description goes back that far. And I mean, other diseases have been cured, but MS is a puzzler. And the roadmap describes three areas for that, you know, that pathway. And one is, how do we stop the progression? MS is a long-term disease. It's a chronic disease. It can affect people for decades of their life. And so one critical aspect to that roadmap is stopping the progression of MS. So that's sort of, there's three segments to the plan. One is stop. The second is restore. How do you get back some of the function that has been lost? And thirdly, how do you end MS, which is really more about prevention? How do you prevent it from getting started? So you'll hear this algorithm of stop, restore, and end. So those are the three parts of the roadmap.
And is that why we're using the plural of the word cure? We're saying pathways to cures because there are these three different elements?
In part, yes. But, you know, how that first came about, we first started calling it Pathways to a Cure. And we did a kind of a tabletop exercise at the national board meeting and our national board meetings, when we talk about research, have some additional really interested parties that participate in the meeting. And we all decided that cure meant something different. It just means something different to different people. To some, it means stopping the lesions. To others, it means being able to walk to the grocery store. To, you know, somebody else, it means playing with their grandchild. You know, so it really is different things to different people. So that's why we coined the term Pathways to Cures. So the name changed probably about, you know, I don't know, 6 months to a year in, it actually changed. So good question.
2 years ago, the National MS Society held a Pathways to Cures think tank meeting in Washington, D.C., and you and I had a conversation literally right before that meeting got underway. Here we are today, 2 years later, and the Pathways to Cures initiative is a research roadmap that's been endorsed by 22 MS research organizations around the world. Can you share some of your thoughts about the evolution of this initiative?
Well, you mentioned that the think tank meeting in January of 2020, and think about the world since that time. I mean, we were literally on the brink of a shutdown and didn't really know it. That meeting was so pivotal in the advancement of Pathways to Cures because it brought so many world leaders together. I can't think of a more exciting time in MS research when all of those people were in one room. We met in Washington, D.C., and just talked about the future. Now, not everybody in the room was focused on MS. There were some leaders we brought in from other autoimmune diseases like arthritis, diabetes, you know, infectious diseases like Epstein-Barr virus. But we really were focused on MS and what it would take to get us to the point of a cure. So that was a pivotal meeting. But since that time, we've really, I think, honed the plan. There's really sort of two aspects to this plan. There's a roadmap that really lays out the plan and the priorities. And then there's what we call a playbook, which is almost like a sports analogy. The playbook is much bigger than just the research priorities. The playbook really talks about things like advocacy. It talks about being a thought leader. So it's not just research strategies, but it's everything else that plays into that. It's training the next generation of MS researchers. So it's training, it's advocacy, it's service. It's so many of the things that impact the cures, but it's very important for us to get to the cures to have all these other things in place. So there's the roadmap and the playbook.
The first time that I heard about pathways to cures, I thought, there's that word, cures, that until just a couple of years ago, hadn't been used very much when we talked about MS. In fact, the National MS Society was very careful about that. In the 75 years since the society's founding, the word cure wasn't part of the MS Society's strategic plan until 2018, and it wasn't a part of the MS Society's mission statement until 2020. Today, that mission statement is simple and to the point. We will cure MS while empowering people affected by MS to live their best lives. The words we use are important. Why is now the time to embrace the mission to cure MS?
Now is the time, I think, because we've come so far in the research trajectory. And, you know, I think, quite honestly, I think there was a fear of using the word cure, particularly in the context of a strategic plan. And the question of what if we don't get there? What if we don't get to the point of a cure, you know, by the time we reach 2021 or 2024 and the end of that strategic plan? And I think in some sense, changing from cure to cures was liberating because it showed us that it's not just one thing. It's not just getting up out of your wheelchair and walking or, you know, it's many things to different people. So I think that liberation of cures allowed us to take that leap, because if we're not about the cure, then what are we about? It was a bold step and we took it with some trepidation, but I think we essentially have not looked back since making that.
You know, I just completed a six-year term as a member of the International Progressive MS Alliance Scientific Steering Committee. And I mention that because the National MS Society was really the driving force in the creation of the Alliance as a global response to solving progressive MS. And in a relatively short period of time, the Progressive MS Alliance has made a real difference. We've seen real progress in understanding many of the complexities that define or surround progressive MS. I'm wondering whether the success of the Alliance served as any kind of a blueprint for creating this global research agenda designed to ultimately develop cures for MS.
Great question. I think it did. I think it showed us what was possible. This is different than the Alliance. It's broader than the focus of the Alliance. I think it did show us that engaging globally and engaging with all the other MS organizations in the world was indeed possible, and there was the willingness to do that. So I think it was almost a trial run, if you will, for, you know, a larger cures focus. Because our one of the goals of the Scientific Advisory Committee for this year is to get that international consensus around this, you know, around this roadmap plan. And that's the whole goal of getting all these 20-some organizations to endorse the plan. So the plan is going to be published, I think, very soon in the Multiple Sclerosis Journal. So the world can then see what that plan is. Now, many, many people, there have been over 300 people with MS and over, you know, hundreds more scientific experts weigh in already on this plan. So it's out there, I think, in the MS community, but I think in the broader neurology community, in the broader medical community and you know, peri-medical community, I don't think it's as widely known as it hopefully will be when this article is published.
Well, I think you've just started answering my very next question. I was going to say that I hope that people who listen to our conversation are going to be inspired and excited about the Pathways to Cures initiative, at least as much as I am. And that's a lot. I'm wondering, though, how can everyone help?
So I think everyone can help by joining the movement, you know, getting involved with their local MS society. The MS societies are all across the U.S., and everybody can actually get involved. I mean, get involved in a walk event, in a bike event, getting involved, learning about MS, talking about it. And I think that's where your podcast comes in, because you can really send the message very far, you know, about MS. And you have such a loyal following and so many listeners to what you have to say. And I think you're doing a lot to spread the word about the roadmap, spread the word about MS in general.
Well, Dr. Carol Whitaker, thank you for all you and the Scientific Advisory Committee do to improve the lives of people living with MS. And thanks so much for talking with me today.
Sure. Thank you.
In my conversation with Professor Alan Thompson, we discussed the current status of research focused on stopping MS progression, restoring lost function, and ending MS. Professor Thompson looked ahead at the next steps in achieving each of these goals, and with that research roadmap in hand, where we go from here. In a moment, we'll meet Professor Alan Thompson. Professor Alan Thompson is a clinician scientist who's dedicated his career to improving the lives of people living with MS. He's been the recipient of virtually every high honor and award that's given in the field of multiple sclerosis research, including the John Distel Prize for MS Research in 2017, the Sobeck Research Prize in 2020, and the 2021 Charcot Award, which recognizes a lifetime of achievement in outstanding research into understanding and treating MS. Professor Thompson is also the Dean of the Faculty of Brain Sciences at University College London, Pro-Vice Provost for London at University College London, the Garfield Weston Professor of Clinical Neurology and Neurorehabilitation at the UCL Queen Square Institute of Neurology, and Professor Thompson is one of my favorite guests. So welcome back to the podcast, Professor Thompson.
Thank you, John. I love being here.
The National MS Society in the United States has just published a paper titled Pathways to Cures for Multiple Sclerosis, a Research Roadmap. Now, this paper was developed with input from scientific experts, including yourself, healthcare providers, and it also reflects the perspectives of over 300 people affected by MS. This feels important, and publishing a paper with such an ambitious title feels, well, it feels a bit different. Are we at an inflection point in the history of MS research?
That's a very good question. I think the paper is really important. And I think the work that's been done is very important. I mean, we always talk about MS as being a complex, challenging condition, and it makes it sound as though it's uncontainable, that we can't really get a grip on it. And to some extent, and for some time, that has been the case. But I think what this paper does, in a perhaps a somewhat simplistic way, is actually presents the whole in a way which you can get a grip on, you can access, and you can understand. And I think that's really important. It gives it a sense that I think then allows us to see exactly what needs to be done before we get to this C word, to the cure.
The Pathways to Cures initiative is about stopping all forms of disease activity, restoring lost function, and ending MS so that there are no new cases of the disease. I'm hoping we can talk a little bit about each of these goals. The STOP pathway includes two major objectives: early detection and precision medicine. Can you explain why early detection of MS is so important?
The obvious answer is that the earlier you detect MS, the earlier you can intervene and stop the condition, or at least influence its course. Perhaps one of the most exciting things that has happened over the last 3 or 4 years is the appreciation that it is possible retrospectively to identify people who are going to get MS before they get symptoms. So this concept of a prodromal phase. Now, this is both exciting and challenging. It's exciting because it does say that if we could develop the tools, we could actually identify people before they have any symptoms whatever and prevent them having any symptoms whatever. The challenge, though, is developing those tools and being able to do that. So early detection has always been one of our key war cries in the war against MS. The diagnostic criteria with each development of those criteria have allowed earlier and earlier. But if we could now focus on the prodromal phase and actually pick up individuals before they develop symptoms, that would be fantastic.
I'm going to circle back to that prodromal phase of MS in a moment or two. And this may be a related question, actually. The other objective of the STOP pathway is precision medicine. Now, that's a term that many of my listeners may not be familiar with. What is precision medicine in the context of treating MS?
The quick answer is the right treatment for the right patient at the right time. So, I mean, precision is, as it says on the label, it's about being precise, about really targeting an individual patient with the most effective drug for their MS at the right time. There are other terms which are used around patient-specific or whatever, but I think precision is a good term. But it does mean that we need to understand the condition, patient, the person with MS, and how the drugs work. And that's where when you get beneath some of these really important labels, life can get a little bit more complicated.
Restoring lost function requires remyelination, finding ways to coax the cells that produce myelin. For my listeners, those cells are called oligodendrocytes. It's finding ways to coax those oligodendrocytes to produce new myelin sheaths to replace myelin that's been destroyed by MS. Where are we in terms of current efforts to facilitate remyelination?
Well, remyelination has always been one of the all-time goals in the treatment of MS, because if you can repair, then you can really make a huge difference. But it's very, very challenging. So as we've worked with stem cells over the years, we've appreciated how complex they are. We've appreciated how sensitive they are, how careful we need to be in the use of stem cells. They don't work in all situations. And in MS in particular, where they're most likely to work is when it's early on in the condition. And if you have lots of inflammation, so lots of activity, it's almost the right milieu for a stem cell to repair. So we've learned a lot about them, particularly in the laboratory. The challenge has been to see how well they can work in us, in humans. And I think fascinating work is coming out all the time about how we might improve the way in which they work. But we have not yet got to the definitive stage where we can use stem cells and can see them remyelinating or repairing. It's a trajectory. We're well on it. It needs more time, more effort, and more resource.
The roadmap defines the end pathway as no new cases of the disease. And this strategy includes preventing MS in the general population before it occurs by limiting exposure to modifiable MS risk factors. What are some of those modifiable MS risk factors?
There are many, from cigarette smoking to vitamin D levels to obesity, to viral infection, and in particular to Epstein-Barr virus infection. So they are all potentially manageable, but just how much difference that will make, it remains to be seen. So there have been some very interesting work recently around Epstein-Barr virus, just showing how strongly it is associated with MS. And I use the word associated because to say it's actually causal is perhaps another step, but it definitely has an effect. All of these and a few others definitely have an effect. And if we could introduce a sort of a wellness program and manage all of these factors, I think we could have quite a profound effect on MS. Whether we could prevent it entirely, which of course would be the ideal, is too difficult a question to answer just at the moment, I would suggest.
while it's not necessarily associated with the Pathways to Cures roadmap, as you were talking about adopting a wellness program that would have an impact on MS, we were talking about it in terms of its potential to limit exposure. But what about people who are living with MS today? Are these modifiable, I'll call them almost lifestyle choices, like smoking, diet, things like that?
Yeah.
Do they have an impact on someone's quality of life today if they're living with MS?
Absolutely. So that is the feature of these factors, is that it's not just about potentially triggering the condition, it's also about worsening the condition when you have it. So, you know, things like cigarette smoking, which of course none of us should do anyway, as we know very well, is something nobody with MS should do. It will make their condition worse. It's the same about obesity. So we should all lose weight, which of course is also more challenging than we say. And I suppose it also reminds me that people with MS get a lot of other conditions. They get diabetes, they get mental health disorders, they get all sorts of things. And sometimes they are perhaps not as well and as effectively managed as they could and should be. And we know that these so-called comorbidities or other conditions actually worsen people's MS, actually the MS itself. So active treatment, really effective treatment of these comorbidities, as well as the lifestyle choices that you mentioned, are incredibly important for MS. So in fact, if you have MS, it shouldn't be that, oh, don't bother treating these. It should be, we must absolutely treat them and treat them really effectively.
I think that's such an important point. I know that for an awful lot of people, and maybe it's because we've been conditioned by pharmaceutical companies, they wait for the next drug, the next medication, prescription medication that will hopefully help them and improve their quality of life living with MS. But the reality is there are any number of things that we can do without having to wait for a pill or an injection. There are an awful lot of things under our control that can have a positive effect on MS.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, when I'm talking to people that come to see me, I say that there are these boring things we have to do, you know, that actually make a big difference, like looking after ourselves well, which none of us have time to do these days because we're all so busy. But it's really important. And I mean, you know, a great example of that is all the work around exercise and showing that actually, I mean, we know exercise is good for you within reason, but actually it can have quite a profound effect on people's quality of life and on their MS. And the studies in that area have been really some of the best that we've done in the area of rehabilitation. So there's lots of evidence to encourage this very active management of your MS.
Well, circling back to the Pathways to Cures research roadmap, this is something that you actually alluded to earlier in our conversation. The end pathway strategy also includes a strategy to identify individuals in whom the biological processes that are associated with MS may have already begun, but these individuals aren't demonstrating any of the clinical manifestations, any of the symptoms we associate with MS. So in addition to limiting exposure to modifiable risk factors, experts will require a better understanding of the preclinical or prodromal Yes. phase of MS. Can you explain what that prodromal phase is?
Well, I mean, this is really quite difficult. And I think when the first studies that were published, people were a bit skeptical. But there's some really good large studies that looked at populations with MS and looked at their time of diagnosis and had health records. So this is armed forces, where there were health records going back the previous 5 to 10 years. And if you look at the pattern of behavior and the way in which they, the sort of symptoms they developed, mild symptoms where they attended their local doctors for, you saw that they were particularly in areas that were more relevant to MS, things like bladder symptoms or fatigue, not necessarily such a specific symptom, But actually, that their pattern was really very different to those who did not have MS. And I think the evidence now for this early, as you, I think preclinical is probably a better term, this preclinical phase, it's a breakthrough. But as I said earlier, the challenge is how do you detect these individuals? Because the symptoms they present with are not MS specific in the true sense. They're symptoms which all of us may get from time to time, but it's the way in which they evolve over time or the pattern that should alert you. Now, you know, we talk about artificial intelligence. We talk about the ways in which we can look at big data. And surely this is an ideal opportunity to start applying AI and big data evaluation to these kind of data sets so that we can actually pick up these individuals early. It may not, you know, this may be very quite difficult, but it should be achievable. And that gives you then, that opens a window for intervention, which may stop symptoms ever happening. People may never have their first relapse. And that, of course, is as close to ending or preventing as we could possibly get.
Well, the Pathways to Cures research roadmap has been published, and it's been endorsed by more than 20 international patient advocacy and research organizations. So what happens next?
I think it's been published in quite a good journal, I should say, John, but I'm completely conflicted on that. And I think that maybe one other point before I answer your question directly is that what that paper does is makes MS really accessible. And I think what it also does is for people that don't have a knowledge in the area and who are interested perhaps, say, in philanthropy, it gives them a sense that there are some real triggers, real areas to target. So I think it's a wonderful tool. So to go to your question, what happens next? Well, I think the pathway, and there's what's something called a playbook or what we've got is a document which describes the next steps. What are the target areas? How should we go about them? And so, if you like, there's a research strategy within that, an operational strategy. And I think the other point is this endorsement, this sort of international endorsement, is critical because this is a major issue. And like the Progressive MS Alliance, which you and I know very well, it was the coming together of everybody behind this that actually saw progress. And that's partly because you get the persons affected by MS, their guidance. You get the researchers being really involved and focusing on specific questions. You get industry being aware of those questions, and you get the philanthropists being prepared and keen to be involved in this journey and to actually fund some of this research. So they're the sort of steps. They're laid out, and I think it's publicizing them, raising the profile, and getting people to engage, all those groups to engage.
Dr. Alan Thompson, everyone in the MS movement has always said that our destination was a world free of MS. And anyone who's ever planned a trip to a destination that they've never been to before knows that it's a pretty tough task without reliable navigation. Well, now for the first time, we have a research roadmap, a playbook that outlines the work that needs to be done in order for us to reach our destination. Thank you for helping us understand where we are today and what our next steps in this journey are likely going to be. And thanks for talking with me today.
Thanks, John. My pleasure, as always. Take care.
That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Talk MS. Real Talk MS is powered by the National MS Society. And you can share this episode of the podcast by letting your friends or family members know that all they have to do is point their web browser at realtalkms.com/238. You'll find that link in today's show notes, so you can easily copy and paste it right into an email or text. If you have a minute, I hope you'll visit the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store and download the free Real Talk MS app for your iOS or Android smartphone or tablet. It's the best way for us to stay connected. The app will automatically download the latest episode of Real Talk MS. You'll be able to access any of our past episodes. You'll be able to save your favorite episodes. And it's a great way for me to share bonus content with you. like the Pathways to Cures Research Roadmap infographic that I shared today. The app is free, so I hope you'll download it today. I'm John Strum. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and make healthy choices.